I didn't prepare for this conversation, but if I'm not mistaken, that was just part of one of her acts as an actress. I,
Okay.
so it
All
wasn't
right. All
just like
right.
learn to chuckle or learn to cluck, learn to.
Lucy, I'm home.
Hi guys, welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your host, Erica.
And I'm Ziva.
And today's episode that we are reviewing is The Amateur Hour, which was the 14th episode of the first season of I Love Lucy. It's the 14th overall in the series, directed by Mark Daniels. The episode was also written by Bob Carroll Jr., Madeline Davis, and of course, Jess Oppenheimer. And first aired January 14th, 1952. This one was partly based on babysitting episode number 62 of Lucy's radio show, My Favorite Husband, which aired November 11th, 1949. And the synopsis for this episode is Lucy makes an unexpected leap into show business when she takes care of a young boy who is to appear in an amateur hour. His desperate mother drops off his twin brother without telling Lucy, leaving her to take care of both rambunctiously rude children, Jimmy and Timmy Hudson. So I think we all remember this one. It's on my list of not so favorites. Not so favorites. So how do you feel about this one?
It's a pretty basic episode. There are definitely things about it that I really dislike, and we'll talk about them as they come up. But I can understand why it's maybe not liked a whole lot.
And what's interesting was when I was looking up, you know, information for this, underneath some of the forums and some of the web pages, you'll have a comment section. And from most of these that we've looked up, there aren't very many comments. Maybe some like, oh, this was one of my favorites, you know. But when I went under Amateur Hour, there was a lot of people who felt the same way I do, writing, this is, you know, one of the worst. I can't believe how rude these kids are. But it's just, it brings out people's emotions just because of the way the children behaved in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, so we'll get to that, but it doesn't start right off with
no
the children.
No, it does not.
It starts off with Ethel and Lucy coming back from a shopping trip. And they look, you know, exhausted. And Lucy has just bought a dress for $59.95, which nowadays would be $625.72.
That's,
of course, Ricky's not going to pay for that.
I mean, I bet when you're listening to it with 2021 ears, $59.99 is not bad, but we're talking inflation. That's almost a $700 dress. And she's upset that he's not saying, sure, honey, just keep it.
I mean, but I love how Ethel, so Lucy's like, I'm going to just smooch my way into letting him keep, or, you know, having him let me keep it.
Yeah.
And Ethel says, I'll smooch my way into letting Fred let me keep this. And she pulls out a plunger, which, like, so, what's got to just be a few dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cents, maybe.
It's just that really
then, who knows?
Reminding you how Fred is with money. So I think that's just the dress and the plunger, you know, just really brings home the two different home, you know, lifestyles that they each live.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's by choice, you know, because I have thought about this, you know, Ricky is a nightclub performer.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to guess that he probably does make more than Fred, but Fred owns the building.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is it just because he's stingy? Do they really have the money and he just doesn't want to use it, or are they making, you know, that much less than, it's always been something that's interesting to me, but,
Yeah, they do touch on that, I think, in a later episode, too, where he says that where they're talking about buying the house in Connecticut and how expensive it is. And so he says, I should have been smart with my money like you, where you just, you know, you saved your money and bought this building and then you just watch the money roll in. Of course, Fred, you know, chokes on his water because it's not that way. But well, he owns the building. He rents an apartment. It's just kind of you know, you have to kind of figure who makes what.
We do, since we're talking about Fred, he doesn't not appear in this episode.
No. Mm-mm.
This is, I think, is the second out of four times?
Four, yeah.
That he's not shown up, because he's already, there's already been one. The one that I was wondering if the World Series, the New York Yankees were in the World Series, which apparently they were during the quiz show. I couldn't find it, but apparently they were. So, and so he's also out for this episode because of that clause he had in his hiring process. And so I guess because of this, some of the lines that were, you know, going to go to Fred ended up going to Lucy, which I'll bring up once we're back to that point, talking about babysitters. But
oh, I think they went to Ethel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your question?
Yeah, they went to Ethel. Have you ever smooched up to your husband?
Have you ever smooched?
You know what I mean? Have you ever been like, I need... No. Not just like kissed your husband.
That's an open-ended question. No, I know what you mean.
So I'm going to be... I'm going to be extra whatever.
The short answer is yes, absolutely.
Buy him his favorite something or like whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, we don't want the wrong answer. I might later, but not on...
Absolutely. Listen, you get more with sugar than you do vinegar, or whatever the saying is.
You can't get rated.
Yeah, no. So of course, I mean, you should be that way with anybody, but yeah, of course, I think we've all I'm assuming here. Have you?
No.
You don't schmooze. See, that's why I said I'm assuming it's not myself.
I don't know. I'm just like, if I need something, I don't need a whole lot from him. So I don't know. I don't think I do anything that I need him to like forgive me for either. So,
I don't think you're walking in with a $600 dress. See, that's where I'm, you know, what are we discussing? Like, you know, I also
make my own money, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, if I do buy, it would be like $600 worth of books or something stupid like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if I did buy something like that, it would be with my own money. So he might still judge me a little bit, but it's my money. So like, and we don't even have a joint bank account. So it really is like,
yeah, separate. So perhaps
the bills that we pay, and yeah, it's just very separate.
Perhaps for every circumstance, like for example, I'm the same way. I would not walk in with something so extravagant and be concerned about having to schmooze. But when I say I do, defend, I mean,
it,
like,
explain it.
Perhaps like, let's go watch something that perhaps you're not, you know, too thrilled about, but it's more of a girly film that I would like to watch, and maybe that way, but not for a ridiculous type of purchase, okay. You know.
That I can see.
Yeah.
That I've done where I'm like, all right, this isn't TMI. I'm not a huge cuddler. I don't like cuddling that much. I'm like, give me my space. Go away.
Oh, we could not be more opposite.
When I, like, if I do want to watch a movie or like something that maybe he wouldn't want to watch, I'll be like, oh, but we could cuddle. And like, he's like, oh, yep, let's watch this stupid movie that you want to watch.
Oh.
You know, he doesn't say that, but like, that's, you know, he's like, okay, well, I get to cuddle, so I guess I can sit through the movie.
Oh, see, that's sweet.
So I guess I do that, but I don't use it to get away with things.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So here, yeah, it's setting up the scene that you need to convince or get away with making such a purchase, and which is why it's so hilarious that Ethel has to do the same for something so mundane as that of a plunger. So I think that's what makes it funny. But yeah, so he's when Ricky sees the before he sees the price of the dress, she does the schmoozing, and he's like, okay, so what did you do? You know, what have you purchased? What have you done wrong? You know, so already it's already
first. I think he Yeah, at first I think he likes it. He's like, oh, she's paying extra attention. And then all of a sudden it like clicks with him and he's going, oh no, uh-oh.
Being a little too nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you know what he says?
I do.
We've already discussed that you do know that he knows yeah. Spanish. So I'm
yeah, yeah. Just... So yeah. So he, after she says, you know, that she brought the dress and she's trying to keep it. He sees the price tag of $59.95 and, you know, in Spanish, he's like, this little dress, this little piece of cloth, you know, because it's that's pretty much all he says. That he's just amazed.
Plus sales tax.
And then he says plus sales tax. But yeah, he's aghast as to this little piece of cloth being $60. So he tells her that she has to pay for it. And then laughs at the notion that she could get a job to help pay for it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how much it was before the sales tax.
Because it was on sale. She couldn't return it. I think they made that point.
It was on sale. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder how much, because it's a hefty price before the sales tax, you know, mm-hmm. before the sales. And now if we're thinking about it, but anyways, I love when she's, you know, saying that he can give her a job, and she goes down like the list, right? Like dancer, singer. I can't remember, but then she goes to like, drive the cars and yeah. like take, you know,
parking cars,
which yeah. I think is really funny, because if you look at her history with cars on both the they make a point in both My Favorite Husband and in I Love Lucy to really show that she's really not a great driver,
right?
And so the idea of her parking cars for him at the nightclub is just scary.
Yeah, and he won't respond. He doesn't want to give her a job there. So but before that, the reason she wants this dress is because she doesn't have anything to wear, is what she proclaims. And so after
don't have a thing to wear.
So before he leaves to work, you know, he walks out there in underwear and just an undershirt with a top hat and says, you know, she says, you can't walk out like that.
Yes, I liked that part. You have to admit that was kind of funny. I think it started out good, right? Until the children showed up.
Yeah.
Maybe you could have liked this episode.
Yeah, it was cute. Yeah.
So but it was cute. And but then, okay, so now we're getting closer to the part. But here we open up their kitchen at kitchen. They're in the kitchen at breakfast. Lucy isn't paying any attention to him. Because she's looking for jobs. And this is when she reads a list of, mm-hmm. you know, what all is
in the New York Times. She's reading the wanted ads. Yeah,
and this is one of the few times that they have an actual newspaper instead of a prop newspaper.
Right.
But she reads out stenographer, bookkeeper, cook,
lady wrestler I always
which are similar to
that's funny.
There was stenographer, bookkeeper, cantometer operator. Do you know what that is?
A cantometer operator,
yeah. And insurance,
no idea
what is that.
Let's see.
Okay,
we'll look at
and an insurance adjuster if anyone knows it. Oh yeah, look it up real quick. But so she is going through this and
okay,
he's kind of pretending, you know. Or so say,
cantometer operators were taught to use their machine in the same way typewriters and computer keyboards can be operated using the touch typing technique. So I'm thinking it's like a typist.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe a secretary or something. But yeah, a cantometer is a very, almost looks like a cash register type machine. I'll post it on Instagram once we air this episode. But yeah, it's... it's pretty interesting.
Okay. Good. Cool. Okay. So they have that conversation and basically, I don't know that there's a whole lot to say about this conversation. She wants to get a job. He pretends or says she can't. And then he leaves, you know, and
yeah.
She's left still looking for jobs. But as Ricky's leaving, we get to see a few things, which are the match holder,
I saw that.
And the ceramic salt box. Did you notice those? They usually aren't by the kitchen sink.
Because the moisture. Because
they both need to be dry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you would, they would be normally, things like that would be by the oven, the stove. But I looked it up. You know how I like looking things up.
Yes.
And you can buy the exact match holder in the episode for about $20. But vintage match holders that aren't that pattern can cost, most of them cost closer to $10. That's about the average.
Well, to me, this is the first time I've ever seen a match holder. I didn't know that was a thing. I mean, you know, that you even place upon a wall like that. I never knew that until I saw the research for this episode.
You used to have to start stoves like that.
With the matches. Light a match and... Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense.
So that makes sense that it would be, you know, in the kitchen. Plus, who knows how much they smoke, if they all need a match for smoking, you know,
yeah,
they
ran out true. Of lighter fluid. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. They were much more, you used them so much more, I think, back then. But then there was also the salt box, which mm-hmm. has a distinct rooster pattern. It's about, I found the same one. You can buy it. It's about $25. But apparently you can buy other ones and they'll cost you anywhere from $10 to $80 now.
Okay. And
there's some real pricey ones out there. But okay, so we're moving on. Ethel comes in and they're talking about babysitting jobs.
Yeah, that's listed on there.
Ethel's like, well, what can you do? And Lucy says, I can be a babysitter.
Right. And so it's listed there for 50 cents an hour, 50 cents an hour over and over, because it's just, you know, how insulting it is to pay 50 cents an hour for a babysitter, you know, for in 1951, just to watch a kid. And then she comes across the $5 an hour ad for a babysitter, and they think it's a misprint or something, which with inflation is $52 an hour today. Yes. So you would be very curious as to why someone paying so much money. What are you dropping off?
And so, what is it? A boy what?
And so, yeah, she says, you know, for $5 an hour, I'd sit with a baby gorilla. And, you know, that's funny she says that, because the later, I think it's the Lucy show. She does actually babysit she has a babysitting job for triplets who turn out to be a trio of chimpanzees.
Here's Lucy. Yeah, I think that's a Here's Lucy episode. Mm-hmm. But before we move on, any younger people or anyone who's looking for a babysitting job, 50 cents an hour equates to $5.22 an hour, and you should not take a babysitting job that is only paying you $5.22 an hour. No. And you should never offer anyone only $5.22. Not only because it's not enough money, but because the type of people that will work for that little of money.
You don't want around your children.
People that.
Yeah,
exactly. So that's just take that off my soapbox. But they weren't kidding when they said that that was not a great wage,
because right,
definitely now I mean hour. You want to be somewhere around $15 an hour now, but anyways, moving on.
So she calls the number on the ad, and she asks, you know what are you dropping off for that much money an hour, and they said it's a little boy. She's like, a little boy what? Because it certainly couldn't be just a little boy human for that much money. So you know, Ethel's like, watch out for a trick, you know, so there's something here that they're not telling you for that much money. If you're still alive. And so she accepts the job and tells them that they're going to be dropped off, or whoever she's babysitting will be dropped off, which, by the way, maybe I'm just naive. I don't know. Or maybe this is just the world as it turned in 1951. But do people actually look for same day babysitters like that? I've never looked for a babysitter in my life. I've never, you know, needed to look outside of my family, thankfully. But you know, when my daughter was a baby, but this is just so random and scary to find someone and then drop off your kid at stranger's house.
They obviously people don't put them in the paper anymore. But I do know that, you know, some of my, I am on some like mom sites for my area and stuff. And I know that people will post on their last minute, like, I need to babysit, and they'll offer a job or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, yeah.
This is, yeah.
It's weird. It's weird to me. And like, if I had a babysitter, I would want to vet them.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, like, now you have websites and apps where they go through all kinds of hoops to show you and license and all that. But this is just kind of like some lady dropping off her kid.
Drop them off. And okay. And so now we're going to get to some of the cringy part, right? Mm-hmm. Because she drops off this kid. Why would you not tell? I understand, because they said, you know, later on they say no one will take them if they found out there was two. Mm-hmm. But you're just going to bring one child and not tell them that there's another? And like, what if they kept missing him the whole time? What if one of them ran away? Like,
you are hitting all the points as to why this episode is one of my least favorites, because none of it makes sense. Because let's say she did bring both kids at once. You still wouldn't know that these are terrors for children. You still wouldn't know that she's dropping them off and then leaves, and then eventually they'll become who they become. So even then, I think she would still have agreed to the two kids. Doing it this way was just, you know, evil, really. So I don't understand.
Yeah, I can understand how this is problematic. And I mean, not only that, but right out of the gate,
mm-hmm.
this child kicks her.
Just rude.
Now, he kicks her while the mom is still there.
Yeah. Because he's interrupting, right? Like, the mom
knows what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. That's why it's supposed to be funny, but that's why later on in the episode she says, your father said if you burn one more babysitter, you know, it just we'll get to that.
Get to that when we get to there.
He's interrupting the mother.
We're back at where she's
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. kicking her. So apparently Lucille Ball wore like shin guards.
Yes.
During this episode to help mm-hmm. protect her.
Because he kicks still her.
Ended up with like major bruising. Oh yeah, yeah. They both do. And I was like, why are they only kicking one leg? It looks like maybe they do both, but it looks like they're predominantly on her left leg or her right leg, I guess. And I'm like, why?
She probably went home limping that day.
Bit. Give her a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So the episode really, once the mom leaves, it really is just this back and forth, right? Between Lucy getting confused by which boy is which.
And before she leaves, you know, before she exits the apartment, she looks around and she's like, all these lovely things. It's like a shame my kids are about to destroy all your lovely things. That's just rude. Another reason that it's, right, that it's rude.
Take care of your children.
Yeah. And I think because, you know, growing up myself, my mother always made it a point when you went to people's homes, when you just anywhere outside of our home, how to behave. And it was expected, you know, and so there was no room for rudeness. There was no room for any of this. So maybe that's why this episode is so cringeworthy to me, because it's unruly children.
Before she leaves, she does mention that the boys and her are in an act.
Yes.
So then Lucy takes the one boy into the kitchen. I've got a little bit about both of the boys, who are not twins.
Yes.
In real life, they're just mm-hmm. made up to look like twins.
Right.
There's David
Stollery. It looks like David Stollery. Yeah.
He was Timmy. He was 10 years old. He had some screen appearances in A Kinetic Yankee in the King Arthur's Court in 1949. He played Marty on Spin and Marty serials on the Mickey Mouse Club. And then he was also in the New Adventure of Spin and Marty in 2000. He made a cameo, which is kind of cool. He actually left the show business and was This is really interesting, but he was credited with the design of the 1978 Toyota Celica.
Okay.
A car. Yep. And then there was Sammy Ogg. Mm-hmm. Is that how you say his last name?
Yes.
Yeah, he was 12 years old. He played Jimmy. He's originally from Virginia. He made his screen debut at six. He was in Dragnet between 1952 and 1959. He played Joe in Spin and Marty as well, alongside David Strawley, which was who played his twin. And they also, he left to become a minister, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Left show business, yeah. But they came together in 2007.
I did see that.
Cowboy,
yeah, Joe, I did see that with an impersonator.
Yeah, who's mm-hmm. a Lucy impersonator. And that was at the Tropicana set at the Lucy and Desi Museum in Jamestown. So here's a question. Should we try to get one or both of them on our show? I don't know how to do it. I like looked them up and I was like, you know what? Erica's going to have to figure out because she's the one who can get in touch with people.
Yeah.
I don't know how to.
I'll put out some smoke signals. I feel like it could be fun for
child actors. Like,
yeah.
It could be fun talking about their, you know, their career.
The mom, you know, who plays Mrs. Hudson, that's Gail Bonney. Mm-hmm. And so that's who hires Lucy to babysit with the twin boys. And so Gail also, she also has a history with Lucy as well. So yeah, I did see that recreation they did when they were older. And, you know, they still kind of look similar. I saw them, even though they were much, much older, they still look like those boys in the episode, but
we'll post a video of that or a photo of that when it comes on. It probably is. They probably have a video of it. We might be able to find it.
And Jimmy, one of the twins, had a pet frog whose name was Elmer, and he brought it with him to.
Which also, like, why are you bringing pets over to a baby, even if it's just a frog? Like,
it's a lot of questions, Eva. It's a lot of questions.
All right. So now we're gonna get into the pure terror, right? That is the two boys. So first of all, they're both just rude, like so demanding
mm-hmm.
of like, you know, I want my cookies. And then one was like, these cookies aren't good. You're having trouble getting rid of them, huh? Like, oh, boy.
Now, let me ask you this. I know she wants the money, clearly, mm-hmm. to later on, we'll get into, you know, how she was able to get all the money, because here is just a little babysitting job and she'd have to do another job.
$20.
And yeah. And so at that point where that kid was being as rude as he was in the kitchen, put yourself in that place. What would you have done? You're now stuck with this kid for the next few hours. I mean, something that you can say out loud on a podcast.
I don't know. I mean,
that was pretty harsh, pretty quick for no reason. This child was just very rude and very, very mean, you know, not just misbehaving, but just mean.
Wouldn't keep bending to their will. I'd be like, all right, well, now we're done. Like, mm-hmm. let's just go sit and like, be like, I wouldn't mind putting them in timeout. Like I know that she's a babe, but I don't know if I'm babysitting these children and they're being awful, like you're gonna go sit in time out, you're gonna not get more cookies and milk and like,
certainly test your patience,
play games, you know, like mm-hmm. I don't know. So yeah, they go back and forth a few times with the cookies and the milk, and we get to see the front of the
kind of like the cabinet, the counter,
he's drawing on her counter,
right?
But that's just, it is kind of weird to see it pulled out like that.
Yeah, because usually
it's kind of just assume it's against a wall, right?
Yeah, like a
fourth wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I guess they would move that out to kind of get better shots of the kitchen if, you know, if they didn't need the counter there.
And we forgot to mention earlier, you know, before the kids were dropped off, that this is actually the first time we ever hear the address of the Ricardo's apartment, which is 623 East 68th Street, which is a, you know, non-existent address, because if it was, it'd be in the middle of the New York East River. I think we've, you know, have discussed that before, but yeah, it's the first time, you know, we hear the address, because that's where she's telling them to drop off the kids. But
yes,
so he's drawing on her counter, which is why she can't see him. And that's when Mama came in through the hallway and snuck in the other kid. And now you've got no.
She brings him in for cookies, and that's when the mom brings.
Oh yes,
the boy the mom snuck in is the one that's drawing on the counter.
Timmy
the counters. Mm-hmm. Timmy. Okay, my goodness. Timmy and Jimmy. Who does that? We had twins at our school named Chanel and Chantel.
Oh,
identical twins. Like, why would you do that to yourself? Anyways. So yeah, they're going back and forth, you know, and finally she starts to catch on, mm-hmm. you know, because she runs into Jimmy and she goes, wait, and she's like, hold on, wait there. And mm-hmm. that's when she goes into the kitchen and Timmy's drawing on the counter. So she doesn't see him.
She can't see him. She
goes back in and she can't see Jimmy.
Because he's sitting in the chair and the chair is too high.
Underneath. Yeah. And so finally she gets to see, well, no, because she sits down, right? And Jimmy is talking to her and then Timmy comes out and that's when she finally realizes, oh, there's two of them.
Well, because he walks around through the back. He exits and then comes through the hallway. And so he rings the doorbell. She opens it and screams because she's freaking out that how did he make it so quickly from the kitchen to the door, but it's not him. It's his twin brother. It's all very confusing. Right.
Yeah. It's pretty confusing. And so she finds out it's them and they decide to play. Well, she shoots down cowboys and Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And instead they play the Mayberry Bush.
Oh yeah. The ring around the mulberry bush or something.
Yeah. Something like that. Basically cutesy. Just tying her up.
Yeah.
Right. That's why she says okay to that.
Mm-hmm.
So they tie her up. And this is, again, where I have a real problem. Because, again, this is supposed to be a joke, right? Like, this is cute. I don't know. Funny? Maybe not cute. But, like, they light a match. He has a lit match. The mm-hmm. only reason he didn't put that lit match by those papers is because his mom called. And then the fact that his mom, again, it's supposed to be funny, but she's like, you know, your dad said that you'll, you know, he'll spank you or something if you burn one more babysitter
at the stake.
So mm-hmm. this is a normal thing.
Again, like,
are you paying $50 to pay for medical bills?
Like the mistreatment, the unnecessary mistreatment is really what makes me cringe from this episode because, you know, it could have been written in a way where, let's say they're unruly kids, you know, exhausting her where they want to play baseball or they want to run around and she's too tired. You know, that would be funny in itself, but they made these children especially cruel and almost homicidal with the fire. So that's probably where this episode, you know, takes a turn. Like we could have made the children just unruly, you know, behaving like kids do, too much energy where she's exhausted at the end of it and can't take it. But the fact that they were wanting to harm her, kicking her over and over, disrespecting her all in a matter of minutes is probably why this is, you know, on the, you know, top of my list of, you know, I'd rather watch the Scotland one because at least they're singing and dancing and nobody's getting harmed.
Yeah, I know. It's getting burned. They're just being fed to a dragon. I don't know.
And so there's that. So like you mentioned, the only reason they didn't set her on fire is because the phone rang and the phone was their mom, Mrs. Hudson, you know, dropping a bomb that she can no longer attend because she's all tied up, much like she is at the moment.
Lucy's like, that's two of us. Mm-hmm. That makes two of us.
Yeah.
So basically she's like, will you take my position, my place in this?
Mm-hmm.
Amateur contest. If you win, you can have the proceeds, which is $100, which would more than pay for. That would be $1,043.73. So that would more than pay for her dress and the plunger.
The plunger.
So see, Ethel wouldn't have to smooch Fred.
See, I was just going with, oh, she can pay for the dress and have some extra pocket change. But you're a better friend than I am because you're like, well,
she can buy a dress. She can pay for the dress, get a hat and shoes, and pay for the
plunger. Like
$2 plunger, probably.
Right. So, yeah. So she said, you know, you can keep it. So she's, you know, oh, absolutely, of course. So, she tells him that she's going to be instead of their mother on there. And that's when they turn and become nice for a few seconds.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah. Again, they another reason.
They were nice enough because they got the whole routine down, right? So like they had to calm down so they could teach her the routine, or maybe they didn't. And it was just awful. They were just awful to her as they were teaching her the routine. Who knows?
They were kicking her.
Yeah, every time she got it wrong. So now we've got the opening.
So coincidentally, of course, Ricky is the MC because of course he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
He set that up earlier in the episode saying, you know, that he had a charity event that he was assigned to. And this is the charity event. And he starts it off with singing a song called "I'm Breaking My Back, Putting Up a Front for You." And I heard it earlier today, not just the one that he did, but this was written by Ozzie Nelson of Ozzie and Harriet fame. And they also did a rendition of it. He wrote it with Al Jones. And that one was a little different, a little cutesy because he sings it along with her, with Harriet. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of, you know, back and forth, married couple sort of thing. And so at the same time as I Love Lucy was airing on CBS, they had it. You know, they were a married couple as well. And they had a show called The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. So this is just a little bit of that song that he was playing or singing.
And he sings the whole song. This is one of the ones where there's like a featured song in the episode. But before, so going back just a teensy bit, before he sings this song, he talks about little Willie Mae, mm-hmm. who played the guitar with her feet, which first of all, I'd love to see that. And second of all, where they have talent people again. Do you remember that lady who's like clucking?
Yeah, like, that went on entirely too long.
Did she have that talent before? Like, when they were casting for this, were they like, let's find just cast for random people?
No, and no.
Then they found out, or did she have to learn this skill?
No, she did. Now, I'm sure we'll do some more research, you know, when we get to that episode in two Season or three years three from years. Now. So in 2023, I will discuss with you that this woman did that. Now, I didn't prepare for this conversation, but if I'm not mistaken, that was just part of one of her acts as an actress. Okay. So it all wasn't right, just like right. learn to chuckle or learn to cluck, learn to... But I just think it went on entirely too long. Although they do cut it down when they, you know, run it on television, but the DVD version, it's all there.
I just thought that was, I thought of her when I was watching this. So Willie Mae Barker was the name of the maid for Lucy and Desi Arnaz.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to, I feel bad saying this, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed, but the final sitcom for Lucy in Life with Lucy, she's named Lucy Barker. Mm-hmm. And I believe that I mentioned in one of the episodes that I thought Barker was a bad last name. And now I feel bad.
We will retract, or, you know, we are,
we change our opinions. Last name. It's interesting still, but I can understand now more why they chose it.
Yeah, she was because very. At
the time, I was like, why would you choose that?
Very loved. Willie Mae Barker was very loved by the Arnaz family. And it also went along with that superstition we spoke of with the AR. So it was perfectly fitting. It worked. So, you mentioned that. And where he's performing, Ricky is during this whole time, is called the Bluebird Club. It was most likely inspired by the Bluebird Records that put out that song that we mentioned, the "I'm Breaking My Back, Putting Up a Front for You." So that's probably where the name came from. It was known for low-cost releases, primarily of blues and jazz in the 1930s and 40s. Bluebird Records was.
We also see a similar dress up to like what she comes out in. So she comes out with the two boys in the dress up with the mustache painted or, you know,
glued onto.
Mm-hmm. Glued on, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you'll see this similar dress up style with the mustache in Home Movies.
Yes.
And also she's the stunt performer as Iron Man Carmichael. And then also in the Lucy Show, and it'll be one of the ones that are in the opening credits, which I know this is off topic a little bit, but the Lucy Show credits always kind of were like, there was just so much going on.
It was, you know, very, like all the very spinning busy.
And the mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was way too busy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. This is one of the ones where she's got the cowboy hat and I think she's like munching on something, she's chewing something,
and so the mustache moves up and down. Yeah. And it looks funny.
yeah
And so, you know what I noticed too now, so he introduces Mrs. Hudson and the twins, you know, he's still oblivious to who is Mrs. Hudson. He really thinks it's Mrs. Hudson. In one of the shots, you know, when they start singing Ragtime Cowboy Joe, is one of the twins still has his frog Elmer with him, so it jumps out and it, you know, lands on her neck, which, by the way, just gives me the creeps to think about crawling.
Is
that
a real frog, do you think? Because so they did have to shoot it separately.
Well, if you see, there's like a close-up and they're touching it, you know, kind of, and it looks real, you know, black and white. It's kind of hard to tell, but they do one of those portrait style views, you know, images for her neck, much like they did for Ricky in a previous episode. But just a few times they did those kinds of shots, and it was very crystal clear, very, you know, to show that the frog was right on her.
And those
her
were neck. Those were done after the studio left, the
right?
Studio,
yeah,
audience left.
Yeah.
After, but my question is, so like in that photo or in that shot specifically, so I can I guess that like the videos of him holding the frog were probably real, but the one of her neck, it was just a leg. So technically, right, it didn't have to be
real. We don't even know if it was Lucy.
So,
I mean,
true, it could have been anyone. Oh, could have been probably her son.
Hazel Pierce.
Hazel, yeah, oh no. It could be like, Hazel, come here, we got to put a frog down your shirt.
Right.
Oh, okay, but anyway, so this... I do like this part. I think that when Lucy's dancing around with the frog, this is just a really good bit of physical comedy again. And this
so good.
So good at. And so we get to see that. It doesn't make up for all the other cringy stuff, but it is one of those things that you're like, okay,
it's
like
funny
that
because
part.
Ricky comes in.
Cute end and not so cute. In the
yeah. Ricky comes yeah, in because so he sees what's happening. So he starts making it a Latin song. And so it's really good. It's well done there. And so of course, you know, they pronounce them the winners of the contest, and to thank him, she goes to kiss him and removes. Now here's the thing. He's still to that point before the kiss is not aware that that's his wife under there.
Right. And he just lets her kiss
it's
him
a
like
law
that?
Yeah, he lets it happen. He doesn't look appalled. He's not pushing her away. You know, maybe didn't want to be rude, but still, it's really long before you figure out who that is.
Someone comes at you
long enough to remove
you just go
the mustache.
Ooh, ooh, no, ooh.
You don't just let it happen.
Thanks. No. Definitely it's a woman with two devil kids.
Mm-mm. And so, yeah, long enough to remove the mustache from her.
You don't even think about the fact that maybe that's weird, but it is. It's weird. Like, it wasn't just a quick peck. It was it was a full on smooch.
Yeah. And so,
So, and that's that. I mean,
that
that's
concludes
the end
that.
Of that episode. You know, I think that I'm looking at the time. I think we spent more time on one of your least favorite episodes because it's almost 8 o'clock. We started at 7. Than we do on some of our other ones. But I did want to say that the morning that this episode was originally aired was when NBC launched the Today Show.
That's crazy.
And Dave Garraway was the show's first host.
Yeah, I saw a snippet of
that. You want to know something?
Yeah.
I have never watched the Today Show.
Really?
Is it like a news show?
Yes, it's like Good Morning America. Or
I've never watched Good Morning America.
Girl, where do you get your news?
I read it.
On the New York Times and the kitchen counter? Looking for jobs?
Listen, I don't like listening to people tell me about my news. I don't know. I'd rather just read it, I guess. I don't know.
And I'm the opposite. Sometimes, for the most part, I like to have it in my ear as I'm doing other things. And so I'm a huge news junkie. I just love listening to news all the time. I don't care who's giving me the information. I'll make my own, judgments afterwards.
I'll just make a news podcast just for you.
Just news. I'll just daily news. And so I do like watching Today Show. Now, I don't like, the corny stuff on there. I could do without the celebrity stuff. I don't care. Just give me the news of the day. But yeah, I do watch the Today. I'm shocked you have not ever seen the Today Show.
No. I've never watched a full episode of Ellen. There's a lot of things I haven't watched.
That's okay.
Okay.
Shout out to Ellen.
There's a lot of shows that people, watch a lot of that I like I don't watch.
Yeah, yeah. But you've seen every single I Love Lucy episode.
Yes. And I Love Lucy and Here's Lucy Bewitched and Hogan's Heroes and MASH, and I can keep going.
There you go. Yeah.
So anyways, first of all, I say that at the very end.
Yeah.
I do want to say that we are recording this quite soon after Thanksgiving. So we hope that you all had a wonderful holidays, a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we hope you liked our episode. If you like any of our episodes, please review. Please let us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what you'd like to hear more of. If you want more spotlights, please let us know. We've had a few people write to us with suggestions and let it be known that we have them. Well, they're on our list of people to do spotlights of, but if you have any spotlights that you want, and something that I also talked about wanting to do were kind of like spotlights on old TV shows that guest stars were in.
Yeah.
And we haven't done any of that. So if anyone has a TV show or a movie that we've mentioned that we could just do a broad overview on,
talk about characters and things,
we'd love to do that.
We check all the comment sections. I'm not sure. I think I'm much more aware of it than Ziva is how much engagement there is on YouTube, more so than on everything else. And because we do upload our episodes in video format, even if it's just the audio of it, not necessarily us, but just the audio of the episode on YouTube, because some people, that's where they get their podcast, that's where they get their shows, is on YouTube, and they're walking around listening to it. I like doing that too. So whether you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Instagram or on YouTube or an email, any of that, we'll greatly appreciate it and we'll respond to it, because it's just engagement. It's really kind that everyone's taking the time to do that.
Yes. So please do that. Find us everywhere. Having a ball podcast
at gmail.com
is Gmail. We are working on an outro, guys, that will finally officially
attach.
How many episodes in have been be in our
we'll get this
that
right.
Will be a little bit more put together, So
that's what makes our podcast fun. We're just
growing, we're learning,
we're chatting about Little Things Lucy. So yes. Having a Ball Pod on Instagram, Having a Ball Podcast on Facebook, Having a Ball Pod at Gmail, and Having a Ball Podcast on YouTube. So we are literally everywhere.
Someone's gonna write us and be like, you're not here.
I looked for you here and you weren't here.
You weren't here.
You lied to me. You're not everywhere.
Okay. All right, guys.
Thanks so
much for listening. Bye.